Lovely to see George and Chris back from a hard week at Nevin. and Joe, yes. And nobody else went, did they? No. Hope you all had a blessed time. So this morning we're going to have our usual format of a few songs and prayers with a few little activities as well in between. We'll have the collection in our third song. There's no Sunday school as usual in August, but we've got a table at the back, and so when Sue comes to speak later, the children can go to the back and we have a little activity for them. At the very end, we're going to have tea and coffee, and as we've done for the last 2 weeks, if you stay in your seats, we're going to bring it round to you. We've had some good feedback about this, and very happy to receive more feedback of whether you think this works and this is a good idea. So just stay in your seats, and the tea and the coffee, and the biscuits, of course. Biscuits, most important bit, they will come to you. So let's just have a time of prayer, a moment of quiet, as we commit our service to the Lord. Some words from Psalm 27, from verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple, which is what we do this morning. And from verse 8, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. So we come before you this morning to seek your face, Lord, to offer you our praise and worship, to hear your voice, to feel the guiding hand and the touching, healing touch of your spirit, to follow your heart, to honour your name. May your presence with us now be our focus. May you touch each of us afresh. May you bring clarity, soothing, relief, whatever each of us needs right now from this service, may you minister to our hearts. Amen. And notices for this week. So tomorrow, for those of you who go to the BAP, there hasn't been one for a couple of weeks, but there is a BAP tomorrow, and I believe there is entertainment and refreshments. And then the normal week, as usual, where there's just the prayer meetings happening this week. Ian has a notice about next Sunday, so we have a little change on the agenda for next Sunday.
Thank you. This is my weekly announcement to you to remind you that next Sunday we won't be here. We'll be at Oasis. That's because we have a lot of people away next week. So we're taking the opportunity of being at Oasis to have a kind of smaller, more informal sharing service. So if there's anything that you particularly want to share at next week's service, please let me know afterwards, or just come along and be prepared to share. It'll be 10:30 at Oasis, and look forward to seeing you there. Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
And just a bit of forewarning that not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after that, for those of you who attend the Saturday morning prayer meeting, it won't be happening that day. That's the 5th of September, because we're hosting an NWBA safeguarding event, which many of you will actually be on. So there will be no prayer meeting that day, but we'll remind you about that next week as well. So we're going to have a couple of songs now. Both of these songs were written by Canadian songwriter Brian Dawkson, who died of cancer last month, and I did put a note in the notices at the time. He wrote a lot of the music that we will be familiar with, and we do sing quite a lot, and he leaves a great legacy. So to honour that legacy, I thought we'd have a few of his songs this morning. So these two are his. This is Come Now Is the Time to Worship and Refiner's Fire, and we'll have another one later, which is his. We're very blessed to have amazing worship songwriters, aren't we? Including our own of George and Mary's. Did anybody spot that we sang Mary's song, or the music group sang Mary's song as the first pre-service one today? So keep writing, guys. This is the heart of God speaking to us through you. And it's lovely to be able to sing the songs that we ourselves are offering to God. So thank you for what you do. And they're a great song, so thank you. So we're going to sing now. Who would like some bubbles with the song? What do you think? Do you want some bubbles? Let's go with bubbles. Take it away.
Is to please.
Morning is going to be talking to us about wisdom, so I thought it might be interesting to look at a few wise sayings that we're maybe all familiar with. And if you can see that, do you want to have a little chat amongst yourselves? And which of those do you think come from the Bible and which don't? You can't quite see. So I'll read them out. The top one is, it is better to give than to receive. Second one is, cleanliness is next to godliness. Then we have, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Fourth one is, smile and the whole world smiles with you. Fifth one, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Sixth one is, less haste, more speed. And then we have, a word rightly spoken is apples of gold in settings of silver. Put that one in for Hillary. It is better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Bad company corrupts good character. And a friend loves at all times. I'll give you a clue. Five of those are from the Bible and five of them are not. Which do you think are the ones from the Bible? Mary. Train a child. Yep, that's Proverbs 22:6. Better to give than receive. Acts 20:35. Yes. Did anybody recognise that one? Hillary did a reflection on that a few weeks ago, which I think is a lovely one. Really, really, really nice. A word rightly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Isn't that beautiful? Right, do you want to put the answers up then, Darren? So there we go. So the top one, which we got, is better to give than receive. Train a child in the way he should go, and then when he is old, he will not turn from it, and a word rightly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Bad company corrupts good character, and a friend loves all times. So these are good ones, aren't they? I do like the one, though, it is better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. I frequently fall victim to that one. All right. right, thanks, Darren. Right, we'll have another two songs, and we'll have the first one with the collection, which is Alleluia, Your Love is Amazing, which is another Brian Dawkson one. And then we're going to have Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful, and I think we'll put the bubbles on again for that one. And that's your exercise time. That's the one where you can do some reaching up and some reaching across and some reaching down. So if you can either sit or stand for any of these, however you feel inclined.
Time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel it closer, rising up in me. Hallelujah.
If you want, reach up, reach across, reach down, and
love
cause it carries us no matter where we go. And with arms half wide, it's surrounding us on every single side. Such a wonderful love, such a wonderful love.
Stretch up high, stretch up high.
And remember that it's greater than the sky. And we go down low, cause it carries us no matter where we go. And with arms half wide, it's surrounding us on every single side. Such a wonderful love.
Please do not slip on the bubble. So, Father, we thank you for this collection. We thank you for bubbles and we thank you for fun. We ask that you will bless those who have given these gifts, and we ask that you will bless the work that these gifts will be used for. We ask, too, that you will bless all our sponsor children from the money in the little boxes. Walk with them, Lord, and their families and their communities. Guide and protect them in all of the corners of the world where they call home. Amen. And we ask you, too, Father, that you will bless our children now. And kids, would you like to, last week you did a really good paper chain, didn't you, of lots of little people you coloured in, and you did a really good paper chain to show that we are all one family, but we're all individuals and we're all different. So could you do me another paper chain this week? And I thought this week it would be nice if we could have some hands. So you can either draw around your hands, or I've put some little templates and you can just colour in the templates and then cut those out. And if you stick them together, and then you can come and show us at the end, because Sue's going to be talking to us about wisdom in a minute. And it's, we come together on Sundays, don't we? We come together as the early church did, as Christian communities have done ever since. We come together to praise God and to learn and to increase our wisdom together. It's really important that we do this together. So the little chain of hands will show that we're all together in this work. So you can go off to the table at the back now if you'd like to do that, and we can play with bubbles later maybe. Oh yes, bubbles can go outside afterwards, then we don't make a mess. So what we're going to do now is have a little time of intercessory prayer, and then Sue will come and give us her readings and her message. So if you'd like to close your eyes and just relax in the presence of God. And first of all, we lift up our church family. And Lord, we lift up to you those who are mourning the loss of loved ones today, and we particularly remember Dave and Vera, and also Chris Togneri. And there are many others who are still living with a huge loss in their lives, and I just ask that you would fill that hole with your love and your presence and your an expectation of a glorious future. And we lift up to you those who are struggling with health. And there are so many of you in the fellowship at the moment who I know are really struggling, or you're struggling with your relatives, your loved ones who are in a time of difficulty with health. So I'm just going to leave a little space now, and you don't need to say the names out loud, but if you just picture these people in your heart and say their names in your heart and lift them up to the Lord. And Father, we lift up to you those who are contemplating changes in their lives. And that might be for many reasons: a change of home, a change of school, college, a change of job, changes in relationships, I just ask that your guidance would be so clear to these people. May they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit guiding them. So Jesus, be the centre of our church family. And we lift up to you, Lord, the people of Sandbach, our town. We lift up to you our neighbours around here, around this estate, around the school, and around Oasis. In fact, all who live in the area of Sandbach, may they feel the call of you in their hearts as they pass all these church buildings and hear of church activities. May you touch their hearts by these buildings, by these activities. And guide us in how we reach out and take your love and values to our neighbours. Help us to know how to do this. And we ask for your protection and your blessing on our work. And we ask for your protection and your blessing on our schools, on all the people who go to those schools, and all the businesses in our town. And we ask for your blessing to be on all those people who right now, I just feel we should do this, right now are contemplating who you are, who have this week puzzled in their heart, who is the God of this world for whatever reason. May you just touch them right now so they will recognise who you are. We think of the homeless in Sandbach. We expect to see homeless on city streets, so we shouldn't expect to see that. But we also see people with no homes in Sandbach, and we ask that you would bless them and find them safe sanctuary, find them somewhere where they can call home. Think of the lady who sells the big issue. We think of those who are unhappy or abused or unloved in the homes they do have. Pray that you would give them your protection. For each person in Sandbach right now, Lord, we ask that they will know your love. Jesus, be the centre of our town. And for our nation, we raise up to you, Lord, our government and our Prime Minister, our King and our regional councils. Help them to govern wisely and to have wise decisions, momentous things that they have to make decisions about, but may you gently nudge them in the right direction. How we care for our nation, how they help us to care for our nation, the land, the people, the resources. Lord, help us to know how we do this. And may actions and decisions be fair and just. Particularly remember those affected by the recent fires and the lack of water, farmers in particular. Jesus, be the centre of our nation. And finally, our world. We would love to see peace and justice and freedom and a good living for every person in our world, but we don't. But we know, Lord, that your heart bleeds as much as it does ours. We particularly remember the areas of conflict, and we remember the areas of extreme brutality and oppression, areas of poverty and famine, areas where it's not safe to call you Saviour. May you bind our world with a desire for peace and reconciliation and fair treatment. And help us not to give up when it seems too big and too impossible to make a difference. Help us to keep striving and to keep do our small thing to make a difference in our small sphere. Jesus, be the centre of our world. And we offer up these prayers to you and offer up the thoughts and prayers that have been lifted up silently in people's hearts too. And we ask now that you would lay your hand on Sue as she comes to read your word to us, as she comes to read the message that you've laid on your heart to us. May you bless her. May you give her the stamina to see through the message that you've given her to share. And may we have listening ears. May we hear with a heart that seeks after your heart, Lord. Amen.
Morning. I have a reading this morning. You may wonder why it is this one, because this is not that time of year, but we're going to have a reading that you would normally see here at a different time of year, but it will become clear later why we're having this reading. So the reading is from Acts chapter 1 and then one verse from Acts chapter 2. This is when Jesus was saying goodbye to the disciples. This is the story of the ascension. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Then the beginning of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And we'll reflect on that in a bit in a minute. Over June and July, the Wednesday evening group were looking at this book. It's called Slow Wisdom. It's actually based on somebody's PhD. So it's quite a sort of intellectual book in some ways. And the author is called Ruth Moriarty. She's a Baptist minister. She was the minister at somewhere in South Manchester, beginning with P, but it wasn't Poynton, not Prestwich. I knew it wasn't Prestwich. She was the minister at Poynton for quite a long time, some time ago. She's now in London. And the reason why it's been fairly well publicised in the Baptist Times, you might have seen it. And the reason we were looking at it was because of its subtitle. How do Baptists discern the mind of Christ at the church meeting? And I thought that is exactly where we are as a church. And certainly when we were looking, shall we buy Oasis? We weren't just thinking, oh, well, that would be quite convenient, I like that. We were saying, is this God's will? Is this the mind of Christ? And we discussed it in the church meeting. And what Ruth Moriarty did when she was doing her PhD, that was the title of her PhD, she got together... before we do that, though, we'll look at this, because Wednesday group, the first thing Wednesday group was... picking up this word of discern, how do Baptists discern the mind of Christ at the church meeting? And we said, what's discernment? What are we doing when we discern? So I thought we'd like to see what it is. That's the first one, please, Darren. What is discernment? It isn't a superficial assessment like, what are the facts, what are the opinions? But it's a process of comparing and questioning and testing and separating out. It isn't a wave of emotion that suddenly comes over us, but it does involve both our head and our heart. It's what do our emotions say, as well as what does our mind say. And this particularly about church meeting. It isn't my choice. It isn't my personal agenda. We're looking for the mind of Christ. It's a shared process with a sense of growing together. It isn't a word of authority coming from on high, pronouncement from on high. It is perhaps more like an initial lack of clarity, seeing through a glass darkly, and it leading to focus, recognizing truth, and even truth beyond the obvious. So that's sort of what discernment is. And the music group remind me that we've missed a song out. I'm going to ask you, please, if you wouldn't mind going back, and we'll have the song, because Andrea's picked it up. We were going to sing Jesus Be the Centre, and we were going to sing it in a different way. We were going to sing it where it says our rather than my, as a song for all of us. Would it be all right if we did that? Thank you.
Gosh, pressure, what?
I think, you'll have to do it as we go along. I thought we were going to rewrite the words. Where it says my, please sing our in the awareness that Jesus is the centre of us. Moriarty did was to identify four churches in her area. She's a minister in London now. Four churches in her area who were willing to take part to discuss church meetings. And she interviewed them. She attended a church meeting in each of them. And she had this idea of looking for slow wisdom looking for the mind of how they were discovering the mind of God in their church meeting. She chose four members. Where am I? I'm standing in the wrong place because it's beeping, isn't it? She chose four members from each church, or they volunteered, and the minister from each church, and she talked about this to them as well. And first of all, they thought about the process. What is it that makes the process of church meeting slow? Because sometimes it is slow. And they were making some of the major decisions, like we are, about a minister and about buildings and about money particularly. And they all came to the conclusion, we're happy to say, discerning the mind of Christ is slow. It doesn't go fast. It takes time. Wisdom is a slow process. And this is a quote from one of them. Discernment is slow, they said, because I can see a pattern emerging of raising an issue up, putting it out there, giving it time, then people go away, and people having gone away, it's not a surprise that it's slow. And I think we found this at the beginning of the process of looking for a new minister. You wanted it done now, didn't we? And actually, wisdom is slow. You put it out there, you talk about it, you perhaps change your mind, or somebody else might change their mind, and you come back and it's slow. And then they talked to each other and talked to Ruth Moriarty about hearing and listening. Do you remember, I don't know whether you're allowed to talk about Chinese whispers these days or if that's socially acceptable. Do you remember that game where you whispered one thing to one person and passed it round and see what happened, you know? Send reinforcements, we're going to advance, comes back as sent to importance, I'm going to a dance. They said, I trust that doesn't happen in church meetings. But they did say, we found it important not just to listen to people's words, but to listen to what they were saying. Listen to their emotions as they spoke. What their body language was saying. To ask them what they were really saying. Especially to listen to those who you disagree with, she said, and to those who rarely speak. Here's two more quotes. The majority isn't always right. Often it is the lone voice that is right, the voice in the wilderness that is right, not just the majority. Which might comfort some of us who feel we are in a very small minority and we still have a voice. And this next one. Prayerful discernment is not understood by these people as revelation. It's a method of testing alongside reflection, discussion, and time. It is hard work. It doesn't just come. It's a method of testing alongside reflection, discussion, and time. Listening carefully and prayerfully to each other. Yes, that too. This leads us to, of course, listening to God. We're only listening to each other because that is where we will find God's will. That is where we will find the mind of Christ. So I listen to whatever Ninette says at church meeting. And I don't think, I'll do that because Ninette says it. I'll do that because it is, necessarily, because it is part of the sum total of the discussion. And we all count. When we're trying to discern, we're discerning not what is okay for us or even okay for other people, the mind of Christ. Can we have the next quote? slow wisdom is found in both hearing unexpected voices, honouring their prophetic contributions as a work of the Spirit in the church meeting. It doesn't matter who they are, honouring their voice as the work of the Spirit. M was a very shy lady, I think, in one of the churches. Her experience of sensing the Spirit guiding in her to speak in the meeting is taken by her to be a mark of genuine discernment. She never spoke unless she felt the Spirit told her to, did M? Unlike some of us who just speak anyway. Can we have the next one as well? One of the speakers that Ruth interviewed wasn't sure about, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. And he said, testing of discernment, there is an unconscious awareness of the Spirit's presence. Unconscious. I don't think I'm consciously saying, what's the Spirit saying to me? We're just getting through it. You can tell what their church meetings were like, aren't you? We're just getting through it. And the Spirit is hopefully pervading our hearts and minds to give us the right decisions. Not that we're consciously saying, oh, I can't hear the Spirit. The Spirit is there, pervading our hearts and minds, all of us, bringing us to the right decision, which is in some ways quite comforting. It's as if you get the decision you wanted. How will we know, how will we be sure that we are discerning the mind of Christ? And we looked then at Scripture. How did people know that they were meeting with God? How did they know what God was saying to them? And we looked at one or two individuals. We looked at Moses walking around and then seeing the burning bush. And he knew he was on holy ground. And we looked at Jacob meeting with God via this ladder going up. And we particularly looked at Paul on the road to Damascus, you know, suddenly meeting with God. Not much time for discernment and slow wisdom there, was there, for Paul? That came later for him. But a lot of the people that Ruth spoke to had great reservations about these sudden revelations and people knowing they'd met with God. This sudden meeting with God, the sudden encounter with truth, was not their experience of church meeting necessarily. One of them even said this about St. Paul on the road to Damascus. Come on to the next one. Damascus Road? That would be wonderful in a way, wouldn't it? And wouldn't that be easy if we just sat there and waited for an experience of the Damascus Road? And that would be easy. The sitting and waiting and consciously discussing and the slow wisdom and the discerning is not easy. It's hard. It'd be easy if there was a Damascus Road experience. And another quote, please. Ruth writes, project participants shared that discernment in practice is different from the models of discernment identified in Scripture. Now, there's a whole discussion to be had there. But what they said to her was about church meeting, there was no blinding light, no audible voice, no burning bush, no divine ladder. It is not immediate revelation from God to the believer in a revelatory place, but a shared experience that is overwhelmingly slow. And again, there's plenty of discussion to be had there. I think as a group we felt you can't say it will never be a blinding light or a meeting with a burning bush, because sometimes that's how God chooses sometimes to speak to his church meetings. He sometimes comes as a sudden revelation, and we have had experiences of that, but not to expect that to be the main way of God communicating with us. That way couldn't be relied on or expected to take place instead of the hard work of discerning. So there was big discussions about church meetings and whether we do get sudden revelations, and we're all aware that sometimes you do. Perhaps, though, it was more like Elijah. Do you remember Elijah, the prophets of Baal down here? And then this awful, painful walk through the desert up the hill. And the noise and the wind and the fire and the still small voice. Perhaps that's how church meeting operates, like it did for Elijah. Perhaps it's a process of not out of the blue, but the result of days and weeks and months of discerning and thinking and praying. The final question the Wednesday group asked was, that's all right in the Bible for individuals seeking God's will. And we've all done that. And we maybe have different experiences there. Where's the church meeting in the Bible to give us some guidance? There's all these individuals. Where's the church meeting? And that's why I read you that Pentecost reading. Before Pentecost, what had the disciples been doing? What did they do between Jesus leaving them at the Ascension and the day of Pentecost? What were they doing? They were having a church meeting. They all went back to Jerusalem. They went to the upper room. They thought, they prayed together, they discussed, what does it mean? What does Jesus wanting us to do now? What will we do next? They were having a process of slow wisdom, discerning the mind of God. And at Pentecost, they were sort of ready to hear the final voice. They'd done all the work, they'd done the thinking, the praying, the getting together, and at Pentecost they were ready then for a new future. That is where we will be eventually, when decisions about the future are made and voted on. Could we have the last quote? That will be a time of an overwhelming sense of comfort. It's identified by C, one of the interviewees, as a sign that the mind of Christ has been discerned. There will be a time when we'll do all this hard work and then we'll make a decision, and there will be a sense of comfort because we know we've done the hard work and we have discovered the mind of Christ. Honest. The will. There'll be an overwhelming sense of comfort. And that sense of comfort, in a way, is identified as a sign that the mind of Christ has been discerned. Let's pray. Living Lord, slow us down. Help us to take note of the experience of the disciples in their upper room. Help us to listen to you, to each other. Show us your mind, your future for this church. then bless us as we go forward together. Amen. And we sing a song which you won't probably know, but you will know the tune. It's about our friends in the Bible, and it leads on to us being here today. It's about our ancestors and the process that God was in it all. So it's to the tune of Blindwern, which you all know, but the words come from the Iona community, so they're good words. It's called, God it was who said to Abraham, it starts, so we sing. And then the children will show us their chain.
So we serve a praise, our calling. So
Let's just take those words and pray for just quietly for a moment. All of you, just cast your thoughts towards Nevin and the people there in a moment of quiet. Living God, we ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.